прощу, и едет голова. Я хочу им подобрать слова. Ein, zwei, drei, шики, шики, швайны.
And welcome to In-Game Chat for November 19th, 2008, the official podcast of ColonyofGamers.com. Myself, Scott, we're in here. We've also got Dana, we've got Daniel, and we've got James as well. And right now on the phone, we've got Roman. We've got Jason Zumwalt on the phone with us. Jason, hey.
Hey, how's it going? It's Roman from Grand Theft Auto 4. I am a loser. A freaking loser. How's it going? Hi, guys.
You made our night. That's the show, folks. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Can't really top that.
Everybody, they're going to ignore the next 45 minutes of the podcast and just put that on repeat.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Sounds good.
It's going pretty good. How, you know, I heard you were sick, man. You feeling better now?
Yeah, it's. I just moved to California a year ago. And so I'm not used to the really nice weather. I was living in New York for 13 years, and they have something out here called the Santa Ana winds, and it got right up my ass.
Are you near the what's the fires? Are you anywhere near that stuff?
I could smell the fires. I could actually smell Christopher Lloyd's house burning.
Great,
I could smell it. I'm in the hills, so yeah, it was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, so, but you're okay then, huh?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Very cool.
For some reason, Hollywood has not burned down yet. They almost got the sign last year, but
that really actually sucks because I was over there for E3.
Oh yeah, and last year?
No, this year.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I didn't know what to expect of LA, but when we went down to like the theater and the Walk of Fame and all this other stuff, it was kind of a trashy place.
Oh, dude, yeah, it's seriously trashy, and to like see all the sleazy people dressed up as Superman, and you know,
we did see those guys. Like there was,
man,
the one dude dressed as Spider-Man, but he had a fanny pack on.
Yeah, like there's like three Spider-Men. Like one of them is like half in the red suit, and then half in like the Venom suit. Like the shirt's untucked. He's fat. He's smoking through the mask. It's really sad.
Hey kids, take a picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Come on, kids. Trying to get Hep C.
Yeah. Come over here, kids. I've got candy.
Exactly.
You're joining us because of our Colony of Gamers Child's Play charity drive.
Yeah, yeah.
You're now one of the raffles. What is it you're...
I'm going to be... you guys are giving away... I'm going to be doing somebody's voicemail for them as Roman Bellick from Grand Theft Auto 4.
So what kind of, give us some examples of that. You said you'd done it for some friends of yours.
Yeah, I've done it I had to do it in the middle of a party once. You know, it'd be just like say the guy's name is Sean, I'd be like, hey, it's me, Roman. Sean's not home right now. We're out together looking at some big American titties. Yes! Something like that, you know.
Yep.
And then, like, the guy's grandmother will hear it, and then a heart attack, and then I'll get sued. So it'll look cool.
Wonderful.
Great.
Yeah, well, so that's great. That's great. We appreciate you doing this for us as well.
Yeah, no problem. I'm sorry it didn't happen sooner. If I hadn't have been sick, I would have done it the first show.
No, I actually kind of like you uncensored.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah,
sounds good.
That big American titty, we'd have to bleep that.
Yeah. Oh, you got to have big American titties. Sorry, Dana.
That's perfectly all right.
I think she says it more than anybody else in the studio. Anyway.
I probably do.
Think you're going to offend her.
Cool.
So what else has been going on with you? I mean, well, first off, we appreciate you doing that for us. We really, really do. It's great to have you. We've got you and David Hayter in there. And do you know any other voice guys doing video game stuff? Does that kind of put you...
Yeah, I met the guy who did the voice of, I really liked the game, he was in Drake's Fortune, Uncharted.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
I met that guy. He was really cool. I, of course, know Michael Hollick, who played Nico Bellic.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, I'd like to meet David Hayter. He's my competition this year at the Spike TV Video Game Awards.
That's right. Are you going to be at that?
I don't know, man. Like, my agent got invited, but I haven't been invited yet. So
wow,
what?
Spike really knows how to do that up.
Yeah, well, she's hot, so I can understand why they would do that.
It's so that saying that totally reminds me of your Rent Roman video you did.
I know,
that's
right?
Exactly what would happen. His agent gets invited, but he doesn't.
Exactly, it's not fair.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. Had you done game voiceovers prior to GTA?
You know, I had. The only thing I'd done was, do you remember that film came out a couple of years ago? It was one of those cartoons called The Ant Bully.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, like, they called it stunt voicing for Nicolas Cage. Basically, I would do, like, the pre-visualization and play his character from it.
Yeah.
So they had me do the video game. So that was really my only video game gig.
Stunt voicing,
I know, right? Yeah.
No, that's a lot like what a previous guest of ours, she was, like, one of our first guests, remember?
Oh, really?
Yeah, she...
Ellen?
No, it wasn't Ellen.
Prior.
It's going to kill me that I can't remember her name off the top of my head. Who did Fortune in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh, okay.
And she also did, she did some work. She had to do some work on, like, a couple of other games, like, and the only one I can remember off the top of my head is Matrix.
Oh, okay.
The video game versions, because, like...
Playing the some of the stars who are in it or whatever.
Yeah, she didn't use that term, but that's exactly what she was talking about, because she was she had a theater background, and she, like, was able to do a lot of those types of voices a little bit easier, a lot of the fight voices and stuff like that.
I absolutely love doing that stuff.
What is stunt? Is that like you yelling, grunting, that sort of thing?
It's me, like, taking some tumbles with my voice.
I don't know.
No, it was literally like me doing like a Nicolas Cage impression and doing his lines. They even brought me in, and I read with Julia Roberts, so that she would have someone to play off of. And then I did the same thing with Kung Fu Panda. I was Jack Black in that. And I read with David Cross and Lucy Liu, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, she's hot. until Grand Theft Auto, I just did another one. I did Mafia 2. I was just in that. But GTA 4 was the first one, and I'm such a huge fan of the series. You know, and, of course, they didn't call it Grand Theft Auto 4 when I had the audition. They called it Frozen.
Oh,
and,
really?
You know, once I got the dialogue, though, and, you know, just like if you play the game for 80 hours, you know, I recognized it. I was like, this just feels like a Grand Theft Auto game, you know?
What was the first line? Do you remember your first line reading for that?
The first thing they gave me was, you know, Nico, my cousin, I'm so glad you're here. We started, like, you know, straight from the right in the beginning. That's how we started.
Wow.
So, yeah, and then I got to the rehearsals, and I, like, took the one of the people aside who was working there, like, working the rehearsal, and I was like, is this Grand Theft Auto? And she kind of, like, gave me the, she was like, yeah. And I was like, I got really excited, and I was like, is this for the new gen console? And she was like, yeah, and my head exploded. So after I had some surgery to put that back together, it was okay. Then they immediately made me sign the freaking contracts to not say anything.
Exactly.
To anybody. So I had to, like, keep it under wraps for a year and a half.
Damn. That's going to suck. So you told absolutely no one, huh?
I told absolutely no one until right before. My brother just was hounding me about it, and then I kind of let him know, like, right before it came out, I let him know.
Oh, that's great, man. That's what I was curious about. You do games, does it open up a world where, I don't know, it's one of those things where you figure, oh, all these people must know each other type of thing.
Yeah, they have a lounge. They all have a lounge.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, I'm a superhero now. I've got to, I have all these people.
I hang out with Batman. I hang out with Green Arrow. Yeah. No, yeah. It's weird. It hasn't really, my life hasn't changed. I have more MySpace friends. That's pretty much it.
You moved to California. That's a big change.
Yeah, but that's actually completely different. That's not at all connected. I do online video. I've been doing online video for the past 3 years with this group called The Post Show.
At thepostshow.com, right?
Yeah,
thepostshow.com. And we were picked up by a website from Turner, I'd say it's almost 2 years ago, called Super Deluxe. And then we started working with this company called 60 Frames, and now we're working with, you know, film companies out here trying to get movies made. So that's like a whole other different facet of my career. So, yeah, that's why I'm out here doing that. Believe me, I'd much rather live in New York. I'm not saying anything against L.A., but I'm just more of a East Coast kind of guy.
I don't blame you. That was when I went to E3, that was my first trip to L.A., and I didn't like it either.
Yeah, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that it's not my style. You know, it's like I don't really drive, so it's kind of hard to be out here and not be able to jump on the subway or do whatever I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't have any of that out there.
No. Yeah, it's all spread out.
Oh.
Where are you guys in Alabama? Like, what city?
We're in Montgomery.
Pick one. Montgomery. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, they all have got about 500 people.
It makes L.A. look really, really nice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Except
sounds
for
good.
Flying in. I flew in, I don't know, I think I was asleep on the plane, but when I was flying out, my family member of mine, when I called them, they said, hey, did you see the level of smog when you fly in? How nothing is there but this brown sheet.
Right.
And then when you go under it, all of a sudden there's this city underneath.
Yeah.
And I never saw that. But when I was leaving, holy shit, the beach just faded out.
Yeah.
And there was just this brown blanket.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, sometimes you have days where it's really clear, you know, and, like, I can literally almost see to the ocean from, like, my front yard. And then there are days where it's just completely, yeah, you can't really see past Beverly Hills. It's nuts, man.
Yeah.
Now, you also recently did a movie for HBO, and you were the voice of Al Gore.
Yeah, I had a scene with Kevin Spacey.
How did that come about? How do you get tapped for that?
That was just an audition. I just went out for the audition, and they liked what
Al
I did.
Gore and
what movie is this?
Recount.
It's called Recount.
Oh, yeah.
It was on HBO.
Yeah.
That's Al Gore,
the old
right?
Florida Recount. Yeah.
Neat. That's cool.
I was the voice of Al Gore in that. I didn't play his body. They had some, like, body double to play, like, the back of his head. it was kind of cool. It was directed by the guy who did Austin Powers and stuff like that. So that
yeah,
was
no,
cool.
I really enjoyed the movie. Had a lot of good people in it as well.
Oh, cool.
Are there any other, like, do you have any other characters on the horizon here that you're, you know, scheduled to voice as far as games?
Do you mean for video games? Like, for video games?
Video games, but we could go beyond that, too.
Yeah. I used to do a lot more voice acting back in New York, but now that I'm kind of more on the writing-producing end of it, and I'm kind of, just inadvertently, I'm moving away from acting a little bit, which is kind of a pain. But like I said, I have Mafia 2 coming out. Where I play the prison warden in that, and kind of like a drill sergeant character. And then there's, you know, there's like, it's weird. It's like I'm not really like an actor.
I was about to say, there's stuff you can't tell us about, probably.
Yeah, sure, I could say that. I did an episode of Code Monkeys, which is on G4. Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't.
It was actually pretty cool. They took that Rent Roman video that I did.
That was good, by the way. What brought that about?
There was some truth to it. Like, I mean, I'm not destitute or anything. You know what I mean? But you know, the way SAG has it, was we don't really get like residuals for our work. So I probably walked away with, I don't know, maybe $30,000. You know. From the gig, and it was a great gig, but you know, like when you're watching like $600 million go down the line, like as somebody who's used to getting residuals from other projects, you're like, wow, man, that kind of sucks. But I would never blame Rockstar for that or anything. Like, if anything, you blame the agents and the guilds, you know, who just haven't been on new media. And, like, everything's going to new media right now, and I should know because, you know, 90% of my work is on the internet and it's self-produced, you know what I mean? So so there was part of that, and then we just thought it was funny to kind of, you know, I just think it's funny to take the piss out of myself, you know what I mean? To make myself look like a loser, I think it's hilarious. So.
It was great. We used it to open one of our shows way back.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, yeah, it was the opening of our show.
Oh, that's really cool.
And we called the number.
Oh, yeah, and it was some kind of car donation.
That's right. It was,
that was a complete accident. Yeah, so weird.
We called the number. So weird. We called the number on the air.
That's hilarious. That's great.
Because it was like, you know, just on a whim, we're like, let's see what happens when we do it. And we called it some car thing, and, you know, it was strange. But, yeah. But we appreciate you doing this for us. It means a lot that, you know, donating.
Yeah, no problem. And so how do I go about doing the thing? Like, do I wait on the line? Like, how does that raffle work? You'll just let me know when I have to do the voice, or?
Yeah, basically we're running the raffle until December 15th.
Okay.
And I'll gather all the entries that enter to win your voice, and they're allowed to submit to me a special request, which you can completely ignore.
No, but, you know, that's fine. That's
or you
cool.
can do it, depending on what it is. You know, there's some special
sure.
people. So you can get that information from me, and then we'll get you to record a voicemail that we'll send off to the raffle winner. And
cool.
Awesome.
Hey, Jason, before you go real quick, obviously, in talking to you, you sound like you do play video games, obviously. What have you been playing lately?
Rock Band 2, just straight up.
It says Rock Band.
Yeah.
David Hayter said Rock Band.
I know, man.
You
it's like
with David Hayter.
You should play with David Hayter.
I know. I'm so afraid that I'm going to lose to David Hayter. I mean,
him and Nathan Fillion play all the time, apparently.
With who?
Him and Fillion, wouldn't he?
He was talking about playing with Nathan Fillion from Firefly.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so you should get in on their band and perform at the VGAs.
Or maybe, you know, I mean, in the spirit of competition, maybe my band should take on their band.
Oh.
Basic bottom line. I'm just going to throw down the gauntlet, you know?
The gauntlet.
Guess what, hater? I'm hating on you. How about that?
There's an official challenge being given.
There it is.
I think so.
All right. We'll see if we hear back from Hayter on that.
Solid Snake versus Rome.
Now, do you sing when you play Rock Band? Or?
I sing and I play drums.
The pedal.
And sometimes at the same time.
Do you sing like Roman?
No, it would be a little difficult to sing in that voice.
Well, again, we appreciate you doing
this
for us on the show as well tonight. It's a great pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, it's a great cause, too.
It's a wonderful cause. In fact, what are we up to? What's our tally up to so far?
So far, after a little over a week, we've raised $3,745.
That's great.
Yeah, now the total for the whole thing, for like everybody that's putting in money over at childsplaycharity.org, mm-hmm. I think they're like at their halfway part to hitting 75,000.
$750,000. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Wow, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is a wonderful cause. Glad you could be a part of it, and glad you could be a part of it with us as well.
Thank you very much. It's an honor. Thank you.
Well, Jason, we're going to let you go, and we will talk to you again sometime. Well, I guess to, you know, tell you about the winners and everything else. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Let me know. Keep me posted.
Come on the show whenever you want.
I would love to.
Open door. So just let us know when, and we will talk to you later. Have a good weekend.
Excellent, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Jason Zumwalt from GTA 4. Everybody knows who that was. And he's now part of the raffle here for the Colony of Gamers Child's Play charity drive that we've got going on. So
if you're interested in purchasing a raffle ticket for Jason's voicemail, you can go to colonyofgamers.com. The link is there. You donate to our Child's Play drive. For every $10 you donate, you get an entry into the raffle, and you can put it all into getting a voicemail from Roman, if you like, or you can try to get a voicemail from David Hayter or Jonathan Colton, and there's also some other awesome prizes.
Yes. And so, there you go. That's exactly how it works. So, great cause again, and you guys have done great so far. Everybody over at Colony and Gamers who've been donating, it's just amazing how far we've come in just a short time in doing it. We've still got a good ways to go, so as far as the drive is continuing, we're actually closing in on our goal. So, but it's been great. So there you go, another raffle. Now on to the big news of today, which is the NXC, the new Xbox experience, which I'm guessing is not going to be called that much later, much longer.
The current Xbox
experience,
the CXC,
you know?
Or
kind of new,
or just.
It's whatever it is.
It's embedded into the system, and it's the thing. It doesn't need to be called anything now, because today, if you turn your Xbox on and you're connected to the internet, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to be distinguished at all.
I'll tell you though, it wasn't up at 2:30 a.m. Central last night.
I didn't even think about it until this morning and I can't remember what I was doing. But, like, I was like, ah, okay. I checked the internet. People were already either singing its praises or complaining about it. And I was like, shit, I need to go take care of that.
I was up playing Left 4 Dead, and I was going to get off. And I saw there was, like, five people on my friends list sitting at the dashboard. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that's out. So I signed off, signed back on.
Right.
To see if it triggered the update. And no dice. And I was like, oh, I guess they're all just sitting at the dashboard. Like,
right.
But this is the first time we've seen something like this happen with
With it not breaking everything?
Well, no. Just a complete user interface overhaul.
Yeah, they've done minor changes to the system before, but mostly like layout within the existing blades.
Yeah,
and
this is a bit of being.
Although,
man, I love it.
Though. It wasn't a very big thing though. The download was exceptionally quick.
Oh, it was quick. Yeah,
it evidently didn't represent an awful lot of code.
No, I'm really curious because they said you need like 128 megs of space.
Right.
That's for the avatar creator.
So I'm wondering, like, that didn't seem like that big of a download.
Like the UI itself was like in the double digits of how big it was, but the avatar creator was like 100 and some odd whatever.
Everything just seemed to go by real quick.
Yeah, it did. It did go by really fast. It may have been that amount. I don't know. I downloaded it in the morning, and my downloads you over live are usually very quick. Having said that, the new interface applied itself, and everything was great. Xbox.com, live.xbox.com, the marketplace, all of these connected features were, and as of the time of the show, as far as I know, still are kind of flaky,
full
on
sluggish,
and off.
Yeah.
Really, but not broken. It doesn't seem to be broken. I saw a number of people.
A slow.
It was early in the day. Scott was here at work, but Daniel was at home, and I was at home, so we at least got into a party and did some just playing with the party system and did some chat while I was looking around and he was playing a game. And it seemed okay. And I saw a few other people on my friends list. I like the way that it orients different people when they're in a party, because I saw people on my friends list who were in a party with someone who is not on my friends list.
Mm-hmm.
But I still nonetheless saw that avatar standing next to the person on my friends list.
Yeah.
So then I could like click on their party, and I had an option to either jump into the party or like look at the two different... I don't know what we're supposed to call them anymore. They're not blades anymore.
Yeah, I know.
The different panes.
Let's call them. Panes is acceptable.
And it had like, you know, my friend's pain, as well as like the pain of like his guy, and then with all that information. I like that layout. It was very exposed.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. I think there's some extraneous bullshit in there. Like more entire segments that are not necessarily functional, purely functional things that I think some of them can be just disabled completely. So there maybe is a little more noise, but it's kind of nice. The avatar creator is...
An avatar creator?
Well, it's adequate, I guess, as far as the avatar is concerned. The clothing options obviously suck, but yeah, okay. That they want you to buy that later.
Yeah,
not in the next 6 months. That's what they
said.
I got a white
For the
next 6 months, every 2 weeks, they're going to release...
Yeah. I'm surprised that there was nothing out today.
Oh, me too, man. I hunted for it.
Well, it's like, these shoes suck. I couldn't find any good shoes. I had to choose Converse. Now, 10 years ago, my avatar would have had, you know, a pair of Chuck Taylors on. But I don't wear those anymore. I wear sandals now. Almost entirely, I wear sandals. So
and
no,
girls
is there not a
can't
sandals
wear those
There's no
sneakers.
Fucking sandals options.
This is a strange thing. I showed you this at the house the other day when you were there. It's like, I saved this outfit, but I can't pick it.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out why at the time. I realized that when I went back into the clothing option, they had removed the black hoodie. It was no longer there.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't pick it.
There's something else that I don't understand, though, because I was looking for them. Again, because it's something I wear all the time, is your avatar is ripped jeans. I couldn't find them.
Yeah, they're
really?
Not in there.
They're not there.
My guy still has them when I go back.
He does.
And
I looked.
Wow.
Maybe not today.
He did when I checked you on my friends list.
But when I was looking on the friends list, he didn't. I was like, what the F, man? Because,
and
like,
the reason I bring this up is because they had sandals back.
Really?
Yes.
What the shit?
They had your entire closet. But
I had sandals with socks. Sandals
actually, that's how they picked
my
all
closet
the
is
items.
Black shirts, ripped jeans, and sandals. How hard is that to provide me with?
That seems like it's fairly simple. Like,
That's about all I have.
It's easier than mine, huh?
And the long hair options are inadequate. Because, yeah. Three out of the four male co-hosts here have long hair on the show.
That's true. Yeah,
me and Jeremy. And, like, they're really inadequate. And, it's hard to model, whatever. I don't know. It's not a big deal. Like, even...
It's
even
not like we're asking for, like, giant, dynamic, flowing... Just make it look like I have long hair.
We're not asking for, Heavenly Sword hair.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, if you can manage it, that'd be really awesome.
Trail would go through so many pains.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's like, it's fine. It's just, it's there. It's a little weak, I think, in some regards. But it is what it is. And you can either...
I think you can say even though it is a little weak, it's certainly better than what was there.
It's fine. And you should be able to more or less represent yourself if that's what you choose to do. Or you can do what Daniel did and make a tiny little Panama
Jack.
You
go ridiculous. Yeah, I was like, man, I just couldn't figure out anything. I was like, man, that's not really me. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm done with it. I'm just going to put it down. I'm going to make Panama Jack.
Yeah, you're like Space Panama Jack, who's also a pimp.
Yes. The white suit, the white gloves, the chucks.
Yeah.
And the plaid fedora. And a monocle.
Pretty weird. I'm upset that you don't have a cane.
Dude, and the cane accessory will be bought day one. And then launch a cane accessory.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny.
And you've got a white suit. Why isn't the cane with, like, that's part of a white suit?
Secretly, Daniel looks just like that and wears that every day. We just don't tell you.
I was really disappointed that there wasn't more fedora options. Like, I don't want a plaid one.
I was, too.
Like, I really... fedoras really, are the best hat. They are the king of hats.
But you need the Panama Jack hat, which is the whatever it's called. It's got a different name, but
yeah,
a fedora would have sufficed. But yeah, there's obviously not that many options. Yeah, I mean it's very simple. There will be tons of options over time, and we'll have them if we want them. And if you've got extra points, it would be a really great thing to do with all of those like little 80-point chunks that you have left over.
Yeah, T-shirt, 80 points.
Like, stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like, there's all, you always have a little...
The whole outfit, 80 points, or whatever the case.
Yeah, okay. You go ahead and be optimistic.
About to say. Good luck with that one, Scott.
I want a 5-point pair of shoes.
Yeah, look. How hard is it to model a pair of shoes?
It's obviously not. They've obviously made decisions about what is there and isn't there. It's really fun. I think the thing that's really interesting is that I would say probably... 9 out of 10 people on my friends list obviously made an effort to make themselves.
Yeah.
Very few people actually say, I'm just going to be weird. Like, now I think that'll happen.
Oh,
it's
happened on my friends list.
But it's like, it already he's on mine as well. So
yeah.
But it's like
hey, you pick the most outlandish option, I think, in every category.
I never thought there'd be a day when we would have a discussion about clothing for our avatars.
Well, it's there. It's there. It's the first thing you're presented with,
and you've got to do something.
And you have to do it.
Yeah, it's really weird.
You are not allowed access to your system until you've made this shit-eating little avatar in some image, you know. And I don't even think they added like a. Well, I mean, you do, and you have to pick a template to begin with, some random template. So, like, the best thing I had to choose from was like this, weird-looking dude with like a stupid-looking Cary Elwes. Mustache, you know, like from like Princess Bride or something like that. So
dude, I had a whole page of guys with that mustache. Like, every male on the page had the same mustache.
That's crazy.
Like, that's fucking weird.
But no, it's pretty good. I still like the thing. We can't judge its effect on the network for a while.
Yeah.
But there it is. I'm mostly fine with it. There have been some weirdnesses. Scott, you had said that you installed World at War, like, for whatever reason, to play around installing World of War, and had some trouble
deleting it.
Like, you still haven't been able to get it to delete properly without an error.
Yeah, I need to go home and check that, which I'll do after the show tonight.
We installed Fallout right off, and Dana came home and started playing it today. Had two lockups back-to-back, hard locks of the system back-to-back, which we had never, ever had just playing from the disc.
There's a few people in there's a thread on Colony of Gamers, NXE glitches, and there's a few people reporting, oh, crap, it hardlocked.
Yeah.
You know. So far, no, it hasn't killed anybody's system as far as Red Ring.
Uh-huh.
But it's having its you know, it's having its growing pains or whatever. It's having its, it's going through the motions, I would say. I don't really know.
Well, it's going, it's,
I had no
what
problem
it needs
with burnout, and I had no problem. I didn't have the lockup problem that I, that, you know, with World at War. I only had the deletion problem. So.
Well, it's, they're obviously, maybe most of them centered around the
issues.
Yeah, it means that they need to be on top of it. They need to be on top, yeah, of, like, patching this shit, because adding in this kind of functionality, for particularly for installs, that's a big deal for something that wasn't necessarily ever designed, mm-hmm, to handle that. I mean, all the tools were there, but they, the orchestration of those tools together to create, you know, an installation thing, it was just never the original intention, so obviously it's going to be kind of flaky. I just, I'd like to hear other problems other people are having. Like, this is the kind of thing where you really want to hear what everybody's suffering so that you don't necessarily think it's just to you.
Yeah.
Right, or if they do something wrong, you can be sure not to do whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, you need to build the knowledge base now.
Yeah.
The knowledge base is all, and the beta didn't count. I don't care how many people they dumped into it. It's like, it, that number compared to the number of actual users is almost statistically insignificant as far as some stuff like this. So it's just like with an MMO. You're never going to get a wide enough base. So we all just sort of, okay, we're going to accept the fact that it's going to be weird. Now let's just try to build our live, mm-hmm, knowledge base. And so I'm really interested in seeing all of that. So, like maybe it's best to wait a minute before, you know, installing all your favorite games to the hard drive. You know, maybe they need another couple of minor system updates. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we've only installed one, and it has caused some problems. She did play, for, like, the third time, got back in, and managed to play for a bit without
any
trouble. But
it's scary as shit when those things lock up and you have to turn it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unpleasant.
It's a dice roll turning the thing back on. It's like, fuck, am I going to get the four greens or am I going to get the four
Well, cards? I really wanted James to come in and push the button. Like,
I'm sorry. Tough, but like, I was testing the upper limit of my unholy spec Death Knight at the moment, and you're like, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm killing
it's
like
broken.
Eight things. I can't come in there and like push a button. You need to just push a button.
Well, yeah, but if I push it and that's the time, I will never live it down.
Yeah.
So?
I broke Scott's computer several years ago because I was the one that pushed the button.
Well, I was the idiot that let two girls go in there to mess with my computer.
But that was, yeah, so that's good. Hopefully, now as far as what's been going on this week, Daniel, you got Left 4 Dead.
I got Left 4 Dead.
That's been your thing.
Before we go into that, he picked up that Kingdom game. Did your nasty-ass avatar transferred into that game?
My little pimp walks around and I kick midges. Like, I'm like, midget, kick.
Dude,
you're some logs.
Your dude's not very big. Your avatar.
Well, neither is Daniel.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
man, like,
I guess you have to be an extra mean Panama Jack pimp.
Like
when you're that tiny, because like when I joined the party and put my avatar over there, I was like, yeah, okay, that's
probably about right.
That's cool. That's
I didn't, because there's
right
no
scale.
I had no relation to like. On how tall my guy was?
Yeah, there is no scale.
And so I was like, well...
Internally.
Well, see,
I'm probably down
games,
about... I'm probably like down...
Whatever the highest max setting is, that's where I'm at.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, pretty much.
See, I was like, let's see.
Max on
average
the fat,
height,
max on the...
Average height, down two. That was right. My plan, right there. Average height, down two. And I was like, all right, that's probably fair enough.
Right. Now, so that's cool. You like in the thing?
Yeah, and man, like, that's a really solid
thing.
I did play all game.
Niffle Stuffer? Is that what
yeah,
it's
Niffle
called?
Stuffer.
The hell's the name of that game?
Kingdom of Kieflings.
Kieflings, that's
what it's called.
Yes.
Kieflings, okay.
Kieflings.
I knew that there was an F in there somewhere where it didn't belong.
Yeah, no. Wow. All right.
It's like a bunch of Kiefer Southern.
Kieflings. Yes, man, look. That would actually be really funny. It'd be like playing World of
but
War.
But it's a building game, and I know you're all over
yeah,
this
like,
shit.
Man, you're building a city, you've got little minions, you're your big guy that's way taller than everybody else, and you're, like, picking up huge things and moving stuff around and telling people what to do, and it's exactly the kind of thing that I like. And it's got a whole ton of polish for being an arcade game. But I was talking to you about this morning, man, this feels like a Wii game. Like,
yeah.
The target market of this game does not feel like it's...
Well, this is a good point to bring up, because... James doesn't have a Wii, but you do. And how familiar was that avatar creating process? Like the music.
Oh, I didn't even pay attention.
And
to the
clicks and these little things. It was just so. It was such a mirror.
I mean,
in the spirit of
there are squares with rounded edges that have things in them on the right hand side, and my dude on the left hand side, and like I'm taking these things over here on the right and putting them on my dude.
Yeah.
How much variation you can even ask for in something like an avatar?
Well, it's
like that is,
well, I don't know. I think that it's very specifically
City of Heroes. You can go that route.
Well, but
that's the extreme.
The comparisons are obvious. I don't even think there's a point in discussing it. It's like these are obviously very like very soft, very saleable,
right?
Very like representative as rather than absolute. Like mm-hmm. all of. It's all shapes and minor styles, like, you know, rudimentary, basic building blocks that are designed to represent your guy, instead of trying to be, like, at all realistic. I think that's what leads people to
make the comparison. The home aspect of Sony, the PlayStation, goes for that realistic...
Right. Yeah, that's true. Things. That's true.
The Wii aspect goes for that...
whatever the hell it is,
whatever that Lego shit is,
you could definitely create a spectrum with those two things. Now that we have three things that want you to make some sort of virtual avatar, you could definitely put the Wii on one end and bookend it with the
with Sony and then
with home on the other, and then it's where does Microsoft
fit
in?
And I was about to say
a little more to the Wii side.
To me, it didn't matter. Like whatever they did, it was going to get compared to one of the with how home looked and how
exactly
like. It was they were either going to compare to the home avatars or they're going to compare to the Wii ones.
Well, they're already comparing the dashboard to the XMV on Sony.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fine. It's whatever. They force you to do it. It's a thing, but it's quick. It's easy. It's easy to edit whenever you feel like it. It's not a big deal. It's simple. It's not a problem.
And there's an option now where you can insert a disc and it won't automatically start the game.
That was one of the first things I did.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
That
to
is
that.
One of the first things I did.
And I was like, man, there's something they should have shipped with the console.
Yeah. Do you know, is there an option, like, let's say you make your avatar.
Yeah.
Are you always going to appear as that avatar on somebody else's friends list, or can you, like you could segregate, friends list and then public for your two gamer picks, can you do something like that with these avatars?
I'm not sure. That's a good point.
Dana brought it up just, like, because when you're a girl on the internet.
Bingo.
You know,
that does suck.
Yeah, like
thing.
if you're playing some Call of Duty or something, I don't always point out.
Gamer tags are easy.
I'm
to
a
hide
girl.
Gamer tags
send
are
me
easy to hide behind.
Perverse messages.
Now you
please.
Can,
because that happens
you
even when I speak.
Say that. or ever.
You guys may want to have a discussion when you get home.
Only sometimes, no. But, you know, sometimes if I'm not playing with people I know and I speak, I get enough, let alone if there's a little
avatar. If there's some indication, right.
You know.
I was just curious about
that. Here's a clue to boys out there. Girls don't like that. When you harass them over the internet.
Deaf ears, man.
Yeah,
just falling on deaf ears.
I was just trying.
Well, I was just
our
curious, we didn't
our
get to
listeners are not the kind of people that would do that.
That's
anyway.
True.
I know.
Because our listeners
are awesome.
Are wonderful.
Well, so I was just saying we didn't get enough time to dig around in the UI to look for that.
Yeah,
there's a lot more information.
You know, it never
even
crossed my mind.
I didn't dig very much.
Me either.
Yeah.
I asked the important questions.
One of the benefits of having a female on the show.
I don't know if that's a benefit.
What was I going to say? You like the whatever the weird name game is. I'm going to come up with something different every time I try to.
Kingdom Keithlings, yes, I like it a lot.
Just because the name makes no sense.
So I think maybe if I can talk John out of Left 4 Dead tonight, not entirely, just for like a little break from Left 4 Dead.
Well,
I try and jump into multiplayer. So if anybody feels like.
Well,
in.
And
what do you
try
do?
To
just go beat each other up. What, how do you
I don't know. Play? Like that's why I don't know. Like so, hop in. Like we'll figure.
We'll try
it out.
To try to play some Left 4 Dead, nonetheless.
Oh, don't worry. Like that's definitely on.
Well, it's the first night of something like that. I can't think of a better way to test the network integrity than something like Left 4 Dead.
Now, a lot of people
work.
Haven't been. Obviously, people are at work or they've been doing whatever. But I haven't. I've heard the marketplace is sluggish. Netflix has its problems. I haven't heard anybody saying I've been being kicked from my game. That I've been playing online with.
It seems like all the associated features are what's having a hard time. Like actual gameplay, as far as I've talked to everybody I was talking to today said, man, it's
we'll see.
But Marketplace is being a right asshole.
We'll see tonight. I mean,
that'll be the real
It's in the hours here in the evening that the networks really get hammered. So we'll see over the next, say, 24 hours how that actually handles. I mean, I'm glad, on the other hand, though, that like it was last night that you and I got in some some Call of Duty.
We played Call of Duty World at War.
Here's the thing. We only played it for like
Really? We started at like 8 o'clock, got done at about 11:30.
No, we didn't. We didn't start that late. No, we didn't. Because I had been waiting for a call from her at around that time, and I kept like checking the phone, and we were well into it. I think it was just under 5 hours.
It was short. We had only intended to play a little bit because
yeah, you know, the point of how long it is that we finished it.
Yeah, we played
co-op. Like, we were like, oh, we gotta, because you know, we were like, whatever, like
that was quick.
Co-op in Call of Duty. Like if it works at all the way Call of Duty 4 did, it sounds like it would be a great thing. So we jumped in and did some competitive. It was the competitive co-op thing. So it's like you're still playing cooperatively, but you're scoring one person against the other.
Yeah,
and
which by the way, the only options there are. Yes, competitive or no
right.
scoring whatsoever.
I highly recommend the scoring. Like it's extremely fun. You get this.
I want that in my single player.
Yeah, you get the same. You get the same scoring indication that you would get in the arcade mode from Call of Duty 4, where you're just killing guys, going through everything, and you're just getting like the score pop ups.
I know a guy's dead when I see a
20, but it's great, man. It's just great. Like I would grab, you know, and it was funny because. I don't think you can finish the campaign in anything like that. We played on normal. I don't think you can finish the campaign in at all that amount of time. Because we were playing co-op, we had a totally different play style than you would ever, ever have in single player. The play style was, I run forward and try to kill everything. And then when it doesn't work, Scott comes and resurrects me. And if both people die simultaneously, then you're dead and you have to go back to a checkpoint, which is very generous. It was never very far back. But as long as one person is alive to resurrect the other, and the other has not expired yet, I think it's on like a 30-second timer or something like that, you can pick them up and keep going. Tremendous amount of fun, and it lets you... It allows you to be...
Really
hellaciously aggressive.
Yeah. He goes and activates the spider holes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm like... And then I'm dead. You know? I mean, I never failed to take a bunch of shit with me.
Well,
but, like, it was really good. But and it was a lot easier because you would definitely know when you killed something because you would get a score.
Yeah.
Like, you would just see, bink, you know, 100, you know, and then double modifier and then triple modifier and stuff like that pop up. And it was really fun to, like, let a bunch of assholes flood into a hallway and then, like,
flamethrower,
you know, aim at the neckline all the way across.
Yeah.
And see the score start to... it was fun. And I won't even play it, I don't think, by myself. I played the first couple of levels by myself. Just to see what we missed. You don't get the whole you've started a new game intro cinematic thing.
I love the presentation.
But the presentation, yeah.
It's
oh, and it's
History
really
Channel, like,
no, it's very good.
Good.
It's,
really?
It's very. Holy. I will say this. I think
it's better than cutscenes.
I think that what people had the way that Treyarch's reputation suffered with Call of Duty 3 following off of 2 may well have been completely dispelled. Because I think they did a really, really fucking good job with this game. Like, I think they did a great job. It has super high production values. Like, it's just, it's really good. And mechanically, it's very, very good. Like, all of the presentation, like you were saying, of the various cutscenes that have nothing to do with actual
well,
in-game stuff.
It's the load scenes of each level, yeah.
Yeah, they're just damned good. They're just well thought out.
Man.
And but you don't suffer at all for being in co-op, something that we know happens a lot.
Yeah.
You decide to co-op the campaign. You still have to choose each mission individually from the party interface. But we didn't miss out on anything because the way that the exposition is handled is you are in first person in the game engine of the guy, and the exposition's being delivered by an NPC... or something like that.
Right.
And you'll be, while that's being delivered, all players, whether there's 2 or 3 or 4, are all locked into the same point where that character is standing in the world. Like, you're in the eyes of that character. And then once that's done and everybody gains control, you just pretty much very fluidly split out to wherever your individual avatars are standing. So and you have view control the entire time, so you're not really locked out of anything. It's very good. Very good, and you're not really losing anything. You're losing cutscenes between missions, but they're not heavily loaded with what you need to know about what's happening in the game story and in the narrative. It was really, really good. Like, we never had a single problem with that.
Now, my only problem with the co-op is, and I was talking to Nick about this, and he actually mentions this in his review over at Co-Optimus, is that the co-op is so much more fun than single player. However, it's not as rewarding. Like, we went through the entire campaign, but you can't unlock the Nazi zombies and
it's quite literally
solo.
It's quite literally not as rewarding.
Yeah.
There are you get score rewards specifically based on your score from co-op.
Right.
But that's its own thing. You can't earn
We got two achievements, I think, just for the co-op, and none of them were, hey, you completed the entire campaign in co-op. No. You complete one mission in co-op, you get an
achievement, and the other one is something that you can get in the single player as well,
which I went back and got.
it's one of the ones that's apparently always going to be there, the Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan, yeah.
But yeah, so that's really the only thing. But I don't have a problem with it because it's a real distributed value kind of thing.
Well, my problem with it is that the Nazi zombie mode is a strictly co-op mode.
Yeah,
but you
I
have
guess,
to unlock
I guess that's,
it playing single player.
Yeah, that's fairly legit.
Doesn't make sense.
That's a good point.
So
that was frustrating. However, the simple act of playing through it on co-op was just an astonishing amount of fun. Like we had only intended to play. You know,
and I like that fact too that it's short.
Yeah, I had a Death Knight on a hot plate in the other room, you know, and it was like, okay, we'll play a couple just so that we can at least put our feet in and have an understanding of what it is. So
I even lied to him once with how many levels we had just to make sure he would stay there because I'm like, we're not very far.
Yeah, right.
But I'll tell him we have four, even though we have six, because we can get through this real quick.
But no, we just kept going, and it was like, no, and they weren't terribly long, and it did feel short, but you are overpowered. We could go back and kick up the difficulty a bit, which would give us higher scores and everything like that because of the multiplier. But it was just, I mean, honestly, it was very pretty. Like, it looked very good. And there was nothing more objectionable now with us dealing with the Japanese campaign. They didn't go to any sort of place that's going to, you know, give you the red ass because they decided to, like, you know, you're feeling weird about killing Japanese, which didn't have the strange affiliations of a Nazi party being able to separate it from Germans. You know, it's like,
right.
That whole argument, whatever, ignore it, forget that it's a thing, it has no place in the game. What was interesting is that the nature of the level design was really fundamentally different than just about anything we'd seen in a World War II game because of where they were. There were an awful lot of real gotcha moments. Because they were using the types of tactics that American soldiers faced when fighting Japanese on their own territory. Like, dudes jumping out and surrounding you from the edge of the forest, or jumping out of, like...
Dead guys on the ground that aren't dead?
Yeah, or like, dudes that, like, you know, dead guys laying somewhere that are booby-trapped.
Oh, wow.
Or guys popping out of spider holes. Like, you're running through a field, you know, and you know your objective is right over there, and there's a machine gun nest right over there, and as soon as you run across it, like, four spider holes pop open.
Screaming.
And dudes, yeah. And dudes, like, blow you up. And dudes running at you, screaming bonsai, like, stabbing you with their frickin' bayonets. Like, it was a much different kind of thing. It was very fun.
Wait, no. That was the Germans that did that. It was on that last mission when we were storming...
The Reichstag?
Yeah. And when the Germans popped up, he didn't have any ammo, so he took his gun with a bayonet and he threw it.
Oh, yeah. Threw it like a spear. It was great.
I'm like, oh, God, he just speared his
and I gotta,
rifle.
Well, and I gotta say, you're playing... There's basically two campaigns. There's the Kiefer Sutherlands versus the Japanese, and then there's...
I read that Gary Oldman's in this game, too. I don't know who he versus.
I didn't pick him. He's probably old boy in the Russian campaign.
That's what I figured.
But, like, then there's the Russian campaign versus the Germans. And it's like, okay, I'm playing Russians versus Germans. I know what the end of this campaign is without even knowing. I know I'm storming the Reichstag.
Like, yeah.
And we've done it before. We've done it several times in games before. And it's
in COD 1.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, we're storming the Reichstag. That's fine. And then we finally get there, and I was like, damn it, that looks really good. And like, it's big and it's pretty. And
we've done
like,
it before. We never did it looking this good.
Yeah, it was really like, it was really well done. The only thing I guess I can say is that on two or three occasions, and I'm sure this is probably a co-op thing, we would reach the objective point when it's supposed to kick off to another event, and it wouldn't happen. And Scott and I would get slaughtered, like, repeatedly. And it would be like, I don't know what to do. There's nowhere else to go. So we would run back to look for something different.
And then come back.
And then come back, and it would trigger the event. So it wasn't terrible, but it was just like...
Well, especially once you've been kind of figured it out, like, all right, if it's not triggering, run off, run back.
It was really only twice. It was, and both times near the Reichstag at the end. But nonetheless, really great experience. I mean, if you've got somebody who's willing to co-op this, I highly recommend it. It was very good.
And as good as we're praising it, obviously it shows in sales because
It's done very, very well.
2-1 against COD 4. It sold 2-1.
Yeah, on the UK numbers. Yeah. I thought that was very interesting. And I personally didn't... I liked but did not really like the Call of Duty 4 single-player campaign. I was not a huge fan of it.
See, I really liked the Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, I didn't. I felt that a lot of the gunplay was, surprisingly, it was a little bit weak. I didn't like it. I didn't like the feedback. I didn't like the way that things felt. And I've never liked the recent trend of, it's me and 20 of my best AI-controlled friends, yet every one of the 60 bad guys is aiming at me. I understand what's going on, but that's a very irrational way to build a conflict, an interesting little device. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was better in this, not gone, and that is still there. And
the Japanese are really good at throwing grenades.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
They're really good.
But it's great. Like I said, particularly as a co-op experience, I'm sure the guys in Co-Optimus are all about this game because it's just extremely rewarding. I would like to play with more than two people amp up the difficulty a bit.
I'd love to go four.
If I can get a full four in there, that would be really interesting because it's almost entirely the whole thing. And we've talked about how Halo 3 really kind of sucked in this regard. It was a really bad mixture of large-scale outdoor environments and then really narrow hallways and interiors, at which point the whole four-player thing dissolves completely.
Right. Yeah, two dudes in the front shooting.
Or not even dissolves, but more or less collides and implodes. Like, it didn't work well. This, because the entire thing, you're always moving around with multiple AI partners. Every level is designed to accommodate
that number
multiple
of people.
Yeah. So I was just astonished at how well it worked. And it was very compelling. It was really rewarding. The score system was really fun. I mean, I'm like mowing shit down and getting like really high scores in some places. And then Scott just walks up and resurrects me and equals my score.
Yeah. For 400 points just for, you know,
saving his ass.
Morphine in his leg.
And you get like major points for, completing like the actual, like if you complete one of the objectives, like blowing up a tank or calling in a rocket strike or something like that. So it isn't just murder sprees that get you the big points. And then there's the collecting of the
death cards,
which is really, really cool.
They're like
which
the,
have modifiers,
okay.
Just like the skulls.
Yeah. Did COD 4 have anything like that?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So what they do is you activate those death cards and it makes it really tough. Your HUD goes away. You take, you know.
Right.
Skull. Twice as more damage.
Halo skull style effects.
Yeah, all the exact same type stuff.
By the way, as a jump aside, like, see that they're putting those in Halo Wars?
Yes.
The skulls?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Great.
I know. I was, like, stoked about that. I was like, man, that's such an intrinsic thing to that.
It is now.
That franchise. And it's one of the things I really love. And I was like, man, that's perfect. But it's good to see other games doing that. I really like that kind of thing. Like, simple modifier. Like, it's easy to turn. I can't imagine in any game engine turning the HUD off is very difficult.
Yeah.
In terms of code, like, give me the option to do it.
COD 4, we had a tough time. It was like, where's our objective? Go towards the gold star. It's over this way.
Yeah.
Because you can get lost out there. There's big open, what do I do? What do I have to do? So there was that. There was a nice one, though, where it's to revive, I'd love this, to revive your teammate, just shoot at him.
Yeah.
And he's instantly revived. There's that.
That's awesome.
I would love to have it. I needed that last night.
God, that's awesome.
It's really cool because when you're down, like, pull out a pistol. It's just like Last Stand.
That's pretty sweet.
But it's like, so, and it's very specifically built that way, because a lot of times you really have to cover your buddy while he's ready, because he has to sit there and hold.
Hold up.
It's like 5 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, probably less than that. It feels long.
It feels like a very long time. It's usually because you're under fire.
Right.
But yeah, I just can't recommend it enough, particularly in co-op. The single player may not shine so much. It was very pale for me after we had played it co-op. I was like...
Only part I love was that presentation value.
It was really good.
To tell you, here's the story so far.
Shit, this was actually way better co-op. And not just for being co-op, but it was just... It was a lot of fun. It was really a lot of fun, so...
Well, awesome.
Personally, I really recommend that game.
I recommend it as well.
And I didn't expect to. I expected to play it out of obligation. Instead, I find myself, like, really looking forward to playing it some more as the week goes on.
Well, I'm looking forward to playing some Left 4 Dead tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's why we need to wrap it up, so I can go home. I got zombies to kill.
Yeah, we'll
zombies to resurrect as a pet.
And survivors. I got survivors to kill, too.
That's right, the multiplayer. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yes.
Talk about the actual multiplayer, not just the co-op stuff, the actual multiplayer. I'm hearing that's getting a lot of mileage, more so than that main campaign
stuff. It's really good. So that's something to look forward to on Friday. We'll be back.
Exactly. So that's it. And don't forget, Colony of Gamers Child's Play Charity Drive. Don't forget to donate. So we'll see you next time.
Тема героя фильмов про войну или про первый полет на Луну или про жизнь одиноких сердец. У каждого фильма свой конец. Никого не жалко, никого, ни тебя, ни меня, ни его. Никого не жалко. Yeah, man.